Here we go. Oh, I tell you what, I had my my good friend I'd known for, wow, I think I've known him for maybe 10 years or so, and he lives in the Netherlands, and we've never met, but we have spoken quite frequently over the years. Well, not spoken, rather, but we met on Yahoo chat. And African American chat room one in Yahoo chat back in the year 2000, and I just want to tell you that that chat room was so hot. There were people who were waiting for hours just to get in that chat room just to hear folks like us talk about our daily lives. It was kind of like Seinfeld, where it was all about nothing. Well, African American Chat Room 1 was just like that. It was about absolutely nothing. And we'd stay on in those chat rooms, African American Chat Room 1 and 2, for hours and hours and hours and hours, just talking about things, typing. And it was just a lot of fun. And we started doing that in 1998 and on into right around 2002, 2003, maybe. And then it kind of waned after that. Sort of like a hit TV show that just kind of died out and lost its way. Anyway, let's get down to business. Today's date, December 20th, 2010, Washington, D.C., the United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. I am your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. Oh, I tell you what, wow, only, what, 24 shopping days left, so get out there and get your gifts. I've already gotten mine. I'm not very good at wrapping Christmas presents. I really, really suck at it, so I got a couple more things to wrap, and then I'll be done. Speaking of Christmas, let's talk about it. The government wants to spend $823,200 to study genitalia washing. This is part of Senator Coburn's release of a government waste report. Can you imagine $823,200 to study genitalia washing? I would like to be a part of that study. I'd like to be a part of that study. I mean, really, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to be a part of genitalia washing? Well, we're going to wait a little while for Martin to call in. And as soon as he does, Martin, you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great. Okay, so now we have my good friend Martin here. And finally, he was able to get on. And Martin, would you like to be part of a nearly million dollar study to study the washing of genitalia?
I will try. I will try.
Listen, do y'all have a socialist government going on over in the Netherlands, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now you have a government. Talk about it. Tell me about what sort of socialist programs are in place there, and do you have like free health care for everybody?
Yes, we have a health care system that is created that everybody should have health care. It's mandated.
Mm-hmm.
And you pay for health care, let's say approximately like 100 euros at least a month, and it can go up. It depends on what kind of package you need or want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. This is my good friend Martin Van Ellis, and he, like I said earlier during the beginning of the program, he and I are close friends from way, way back. And unlike many friends that we established over the years, Martin and I have never physically met. He lives in the Netherlands. I live in, here in the United States. So, Martin, tell me about the medical system there. Is it like Canada where you have a long waiting list, or like perhaps like the UK? Is it working out really well over there?
Yes, it works great for me. Let's say if I am sick today, I can make a call to my personal doctor, and he even can visit you at your own house, or you go visit him at the office, and he will do an investigation. He will give you some advices, and there you go, you know. But when it comes to the hospital, that's a different story. But that's a little logical, because sometimes, you know, it depends on the list, you know. Sometimes you can get assistance or help immediately. Sometimes maybe you have to wait a week or 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, maybe longer. It depends on your situation.
And that is to get into the hospital to for what, an operation, or just to see a specialist, or what?
An operation, most of the times. When it comes to really complicated operation, such as a tumor or a heart, something, a bypass or something like that, yes, sometimes, you know, it's longer.
I see. Now, you said something that I found very interesting at the beginning, when you said that the doctor will come to your house. So you do have doctors in the Netherlands who make house calls still? Who make house calls?
Yes,
we,
yes.
You know, doctors here back in the 40s and 50s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and even into the early 60s, they made house calls, but then, of course, they stopped that a long time ago. So they make house calls there. What part of the Netherlands do you live?
I live in the south of the Netherlands, a provincial, which is called the south of Holland, or South Holland.
Okay.
That's the place where I live in.
All right. Okay. And what are some of the other socialist programs you guys have there, and tell me how they work?
When it comes to welfare, for instance, yes, you can get welfare, but on several conditions. Nowadays, back in the days, you could go to the city house, excuse me, and ask for welfare, you know. Today they are asking you that you have to do some work for 20 hours a week, and then you get welfare. So they they do some kind of propositions. They say, you know, you can work as a construction worker, or you can do this or that. Maybe things you don't like, but you know, they want to motivate you to get the money. So it's like 20 hours a week or so, and then you get I think it's about 800 euros a month, and then you have to pay the rent of your house, your food, and all that stuff.
Okay, all right. Do you realize that you sound an awful like a black Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Could be, but I'm not that muscular.
Okay, all right. So in the Netherlands, in Holland, you actually have to work in order to get assistance. You have to work some hours. Is that correct? Am I understanding that?
Yes. Today it's different than before. Yes.
Okay. Here in the United States, in order to get public assistance or welfare, you don't really have to do anything except check in every once in a while, and then you get your check every month, and then you get what's called a little debit card to go and buy groceries and stuff with. There used to be a system here where you get food stamps, little pocket books of money that was either one, fives, tens, and twenties that looked like Monopoly money, just slightly bigger version of Monopoly money, where you can go into stores and you can buy anything that you could eat, consumable food, stuff like that, dishwashing liquid, you can buy that stuff too, but nothing else really. You couldn't buy anything else with it at the grocery stores. And when FDR started this social welfare program, it was pretty liberal, and folks could, if they didn't have a job, they can just go and say they don't have a job, and they could get welfare, and they got a check every month, and they got the food stamps. And then what occurred was that black people migrated to the north and to the big cities, and they started fathers started making babies and leaving, and women were left all by themselves, and so more and more black women got onto the welfare rolls, and money, so much money was going out that the welfare agencies started to hire people to monitor the folks who were receiving the welfare benefits. And it got so bad that they would go out unannounced, like probation officers or parole officers, and they'd show up at a woman's house at any time, day or night, check for a man's shoes, check for men's clothing in the house, mind you, like a policeman, and look for any signs of a man being a man's presence in that household. And if they found that, then you could conceivably be removed from the welfare program, because their idea was that if you had a man in the house, then you shouldn't need welfare, that man should be out there working somewhere or looking for work. Do you have anything like that going on?
No. It's not that, if your partner is working, that you don't earn welfare. No.
Okay.
It's not like that.
All right. Well, it's not like that anymore either. But it was in the late 60s, early 70s. It was a very serious business. And so an African-American woman, I'm not sure how it worked if you were white, because, of course, I wasn't part of that, that area. But I suspect it was pretty much the same thing. But I do know from having, younger friends who were not as advantaged as I was, tell me that the welfare lady came over to the house and was looking for men's shoes and pants and clothing and any sign that the man was in the house, and that in some cases they found evidence of a man being in the house, and then the mom had to go before a board and had to justify keeping her welfare money. Okay, so they don't have any...
Something about that?
Sure, carry on.
When you said something about you know, that it was in the 60s, I find it you know, quite remarkable, because in the 60s, when a man works back then, he could with one salary take care of his whole family. And but it all started to change somewhere in maybe in the early 80s up to, I think, in the late 80s, it all started to change, that with one salary you could not hold, you know, take care of your whole family. So I think maybe that's one of the reasons why they got rid of the old system, so to speak.
Yeah, well, I think that's true as well. I also believe that there was this idea that if you're a mother, most of the women, black women who went on welfare rolls back in the 60s and 70s, you know, they had like children, and in some cases you could, you'd have a black woman who had like 6, 7, 8 children living in public housing, and she would be on welfare. And the situation was this: the more children you had, the more money you got for being on welfare. So there was, for example, if you were in the Robert Taylor housing projects in on the south side of Chicago, where I grew up, and you lived in the public housing, most of the time your rent was almost always less than $150, $200. So you'd have a woman who had like a 3-bedroom in one of the projects who was paying like anywhere from $30 to $60 a month rent. And she would – and that was okay, because she was getting like $300, $400 a month in public assistance. But if she had a child, she would get another $200 to $250 for each additional child. So you had some women who were making upwards of $9,200, you know, and she was paying like, you know, rent for like $60 per rent, and you didn't have to pay electricity or any of those things like that. So, okay. and then they would buy the cheapest items, clothing in bulk, everything in bulk, and you know, that's where the whole government cheese thing came from, milk, the WIC program, all that stuff came into play. And so a woman could conceivably raise a family of 6 or 7, and not including her, on her own with as little as $1,200 a month, and feed and clothe everybody, and still have money left over. It was a serious issue, and one that was addressed by the Clinton administration back in the mid-90s, and the whole program was then revamped.
Yep. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, but you have a situation in the Netherlands where it's a socialist system, and you say that it's working out just fine. Do you believe that America should adopt that sort of a system? Because I know you're very well, you're very outspoken about the evils of the United States of America. Yeah.
Well, that's only the evils, but there are also good things in America. And, you know, I think when it comes to adopt the system, what we have here, I think it would be great for the United States. But there's one thing, difference. I mean, when it comes to, you know, I mean, in America, the sky is the limit. You know, it's either you got nothing, or, you know, you can make it big time.
Yeah.
We don't have this kind of system in the Netherlands. It's not like you want to become a movie star so you can be a movie star or whatsoever. You know, you can be one, but it's all, you know, it's like our system is like this. You're pursuing a course of training in college, and when you have finished your study, you start seeking a job in your field.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you can find one in your field, you know, you still have financial obligations, so you do something to pay off your bills. But that's the system in the Netherlands. So you stop, you know, in your career to a certain level, but you will always eat. That's for sure.
Right.
In America, it's a different thing. I've never been there, but I've only an imagination, and that is that the system can work for you, or you know, or it's not working for you, and sometimes you know, you will fail, and I don't know how to respond to this, you know, but yeah, that's the American way, I guess, you know.
So, if you had an opportunity to live in America and partake of our feast or famine the way of living, or stay and live in the Netherlands, and then just basically be like everybody's pretty much the same, you know, and that's the way. I mean, I could be wrong, but it sounds to me like everybody's like the same, like you're all wearing like gray uniforms and marching to the same beat, and everybody's making $40,000 a year, not one penny more, and you're living in the houses that all look the same. Is that what's going on over in Holland?
Pretty much. you know, there are differences, of course, but you yeah. know, the system is basically that everybody can have a living, and I think you know, if I would reside to the United States, I have to, you know, adapt the way of life in America and trying to find myself, a better life or a better living or something else. I think it would be a hard time for me in America. I think so.
But do you remember the plan that you and I had, I don't know, how many years ago was it? Like 5, 6, 7 years ago, to open up these vending machines and to place vending machines all across. I forgot where we were going to place them, but we were planning to do this, and we had a pretty much plan that was worked out. Do you remember that?
Oh, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was what a long time ago. We were going to place...
Can you be more specific about those machines again?
Yeah, I think they were going to be sandwich vending machines. And they were going to be like, you could get like hot sandwiches and any type of sandwich you want. Like it's like going into one of the racetrack stores, and you see all you don't know what I'm talking about. But,
oh, I understand what it was. It was yes. We have a certain, you know, it's called I forgot. But the thing is this. It's like you're going to a store, but it's outside, basically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there are small cases, very small, tiny cases. You can open, you know, small windows.
Yes.
And you can open up with your, you know, with your right hand, and you open it up. It's like a small mailbox, you know, literally. And you pick out a sandwich instead of a snack. And all you have to put in is a coin, maybe, I don't know, the currency in the United States, but you put, you know, a few coins in it, and then you open it up, and you pick out a sandwich, you know, and then you close that small window back again, and you walk away. Yes, in New York, they have one, I heard, but that's mm-hmm. only for snacks, and it's really... fast, literally fast food. So,
yes,
you put it in, open up, close it, and that's go. And it's really fast, and you got the food. So,
Right. Yeah. Now, in the Netherlands, if we did something like that, would it be like a private business? Could you make as much money as you wanted to make? Could you get rich with this product?
Yes, there are. It is basically. I thought it was a Dutch invention. I don't know for sure. Excuse mm-hmm. me if I'm wrong to the listeners, but in the Netherlands we. There is a fast food company which is called Febo, F-E-B-O.
Mm-hmm.
And he's selling fries and burgers and all that stuff. And he got those things in his store and outside his store, spread out the whole, the major cities, the big cities in the Netherlands. And but if you go to the, those villages,
mm-hmm.
People down there, they have a different way of life, so it would not be a success. But only in the big cities you will see things like this, and I think it would be, more a success in America,
mm-hmm.
still,
yeah.
Today, but in the Netherlands, it's everybody got used to it; it's not new anymore.
Right.
But in America, they will be like, "Oh, wait a minute, what is this?" They don't have to stand in a line, at McDonald's or Burger King, with all due respect.
Yeah.
But you can get it right on.
All right. Now, the who owns these vending machines or what do you call it?
They call it loket automaten, loket auto machines.
All right. So who owns the auto machines?
I don't know who, but I can find it. I can Google it for you.
Is it one person or is it like a company or?
I think it's a small company.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, and they are selling. These things for like there are different types, I think 6 in a row or 8 in a row, and you can place them in a wall, literally mm-hmm. a brick wall,
right?
And there are different types with different prices, but I can find for you those things and mail it to you if you want to.
Oh, yeah, well, I'd like to have the information, of course, but I think what I'm trying to get at here at this particular time is if you relocated to the United States, I think that you could sell this idea, that you could get funding from a bank. You go into a bank and say, this is my business plan. I want to take and put these vending machines, auto machines into these locations. I think they'll do great business. You could probably convince a bank to give you the startup money necessary to proceed. You could start your company. You could put your vending machines out, and either you will succeed or you will fail. If you fail, the only thing you're losing is the bank's money. If you succeed, you're going to win the bank back their money, plus you're going to get rich in the process. That is the beauty of the American system. Would you not agree with that?
Yes. I think it's the same thing also in the Netherlands or elsewhere. You can always loan money from a bank and start business. That's not really the American way, with all due respect. But
of course it is.
I think. But maybe in America, it's maybe more easier to loan money than other countries. But
when I say it's the American way, I think what I mean is that America is all about, for better or for worse, free enterprise, having the opportunity to take an idea, just an idea, and get funding for it from a bank or a finance organization, and then turn your idea into something tangible that people can use, and you can make money, and you can become rich if your idea is good enough.
Yes, that's what I wanted to say. If it's only good enough, you will always get support from a bank because they don't want to lose money too. And, you know, and if they don't see any profit, they will not loan the money. It's the same thing here. But in America, I think it's the way of life that is that will succeed the business. In the Netherlands, where I'm from, it's different. People are more like, you know, they rather keep their money in their pocket. Sometimes they go out and have fun, but it's not the American way that people are constantly, you know, consuming and all that stuff. It's started to change in the Netherlands too, but America will still be ahead of the rest of the world, I think, when it comes to consuming. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we have that squared away. America is the land of the free, the home of the brave, and a place where you can get filthy rich. And all you have to have is an idea. Is that pretty much sum it up? Or in the Netherlands, you're pretty much a mindless drone, and you can't get rich over there. True or false?
You know, there are pros and cons on both sides. You know? Yes, that is. You know, you have to be realistic. Okay. Look, if you want to get rich as a Dutchman, then maybe you should move out to another country and start to do business up there.
So,
you know?
Okay, all right. So what you're saying is, what I'm hearing, rather, is that you, if you just want to be like, I mean, you know, Martin, I love you, man. You know that. I'm not trying to talk about, I mean, if you just want to be like average, then you stay in a socialist system. If you just want to be, you just want to exist pretty much and live relatively comfortable, then a socialist system is for you. But if you want to live relatively comfortable in America by American standards, and, you know, because most Americans, you know, people say, you know, we're always talking about how poor we are, you know, how there are poor people and there are rich people. But by American standards, even the poorest American living in a small one-bedroom or two-bedroom house or two- or three-bedroom apartment is rich compared to people in other countries. I mean, I have friends who are working in the grocery stores, who are making just above minimum wage, you know, that kind of thing. And I go to their houses, and they have a big screen TV, they have microwave, they have DVD players, Blu-ray, computers, you know, they got all this stuff. And they're not seriously in debt, but if you go to another country, and you go to someplace like even the Netherlands or any place in Africa, a lot of places, you find that the standard of living in those places are far below what we have here in the United States. So
No. I have to disagree.
Okay.
No. In the Netherlands, people, we also have those material. But I think I have to say this, that when it comes to being successful, you know, wealthy, it's exceptional in the Netherlands. So, you know, you can't succeed, but it's different to find the right way to do it. And there is so much in the Netherlands. And if you have an idea, will it work? Is there enough, people out there that needs those things or want those things, you know? And so you can't make it here, but it's exceptional. In America, it's different, you know? Anybody can do something. And, you know, I think it's a free market, you know? It's like a free market in America, but in the Netherlands, it's not really a free market. You know, you have basically to find a maze to get through it, and then you will make it. But it's not like a third world country, or that we are oppressed or like a communist. It's okay here. And when it comes to, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, no. I'm not suggesting that your country is or that any other or the other countries are below standards. A lot of them are. I've been to many countries. I've been to all seven continents, but I haven't visited every country. I can say that a lot of places that I visited have a substandard living conditions. As it compares to the United States. Well, I think what I'm trying to get at is you can either live in a place like where you live the same way. Everybody lives the same way. Like Al Sharpton said a couple of weeks ago, that we will not rest until everything is equal in everybody's house. You know, that's a socialist view that if one person has, you know, a 50-inch TV and lives in a 3-bedroom house, then everybody should live like that. I mean, that to me sounds like the way you live. But here in the United States, you know, you can live in a 3-bedroom house with a big screen TV, and you can have one in every single room if you can afford it. And all you really need, all that's really required is hard work, great ideas, and more hard work, and you can have whatever you want. There is no limit. I remember having a discussion with you years ago when you said that you wanted to come to the United States because you wanted to get rich. You wanted to come to the United States because you wanted to become an actor. You wanted to pursue an acting career, and your idea was to become rich and what? Famous. Can you do that in the
United States
right now? Can you do that right
now? That's right. That's what I'm telling you. No,
exactly.
No. And that's what I'm telling you. You know, if you you see, that's what I'm telling you. If you want to become an actor or something else, you know, sometimes you have to move and find your way somewhere else. You know, that's a common thing. If the system does not really work to your needs, then you have to go somewhere else, you know. But what Al Sharpton is saying, basically, is that he meant, I guess, that everybody should have the basic needs, at least the basic needs, you know, food and a roof above your head, you know. But when it comes to luxury, you know, you have to work for it, you know. That's what he is saying, you know. So,
well, and
I think I agree with him.
Well, you know what, and I agree with Al Sharpton as well. Everybody should have those things, but you know, everybody should strive to have those things and not expect the government to provide them. Because once the government here in the United States, I'm not sure how things work with the socialist system in where you live, but here in the United States, if the government gets its foot in the door, they're not going to stop with giving you a house or some utilities and you know, like a couple of TVs and a VCR. They're gonna want to control everything. I mean, since the founding of this great nation, we have resisted government's almost pathological need to control. I mean, we ran away from England. We fought a war with England because it was all about the king wanting to control Americans. Americans are not bred. This is not in our makeup and our DNA to be controlled by anybody, not even our own government. And here in the United States, it's been proven that when Congress, the executive branch, when the president gets involved, it's all about control and telling us what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, and what we can and cannot do, and what we should and should not do. And Americans simply resist that.
Which is good, I think. I think when speaking of governance, it's not always a funny thing, you know. If the government does not do what it needs to do for the masses, the public, then you have the right to resist. It's all about your life, your future, and moral standards, you know. And if the government or the president is immoral, then you have the right to speak because you voted. Even if you didn't vote, you still have the right to speak. And I think that's not only the American way. I think that's human nature, you know. If you disagree with something, you will always get up. And some there are, maybe the other person will wait longer, or you know, me for instance, I will get up immediately and will say something straight up, you know. I don't take things for granted, and but that's the way it should be, I think, Robert.
Yeah. So once again, to recap, would you rather live under a system where you had an opportunity to where the opportunities were limitless, or would you prefer the security of knowing that you will at least have the basics?
I think I've never been in the United States, so I cannot really, you know, I don't know what it's like to live in the United States, but I think when it comes to basics, yeah, I'd rather choose for a country where they have those basics for the people. And and try to make the best of my life. And I will get there, you know. Mm-hmm. I know, I believe in myself. I'm working on a project at the moment. And there will be a day, you know, that I will make progress with what I'm doing.
Right.
So, but if I didn't have those basics, you know, you are basically always, you know, in a kind of position that you have to survive, you know?
Yeah.
The first preservation, you know,
self-preservation.
And that's not really a pleasant thing, I think, you know? So.
Yeah, I think I understand. So how does your system of government work? Do you have a president? Do you have a parliamentary system? How does it work there?
We have everything, just like what the United States has. Only the system is different. We have a queen here, a monarchy, and we have a president. He's brand new, I think, for like 4 months or something like that, 2 months, 3 months. And there are, you know, in the United States there are two parties, with Democrats and Republicans. In the Netherlands, you got CDA, PVDA, VVD, all kinds of parties, you know. And when there is an election, all of them are, you know, trying to push themselves up front to the camera and basically saying things that you are trying to believe in or want to believe in. I know how they play the games, you know. I don't really listen to them. Because the system in the Netherlands is like, you know, when you are in an airplane, you press on an automatic pilot button.
Yeah.
That's the same thing in the Netherlands, you know. It's just everything is on an automatic pilot.
Is that a good thing? Is that a good thing?
No.
It sounds kind of boring.
No, it's not a good thing because, you know, there are things that needs to be done. And the only thing the parties are doing is saying things that you want to hear in order to get the vote, you know.
Sounds like the American system.
Sounds like the same thing. So when they are in the government, you expect them, you know, to govern in the way that you expect it, which is not. So you become very frustrated, and you know, suspicion and deception comes along. You know, a lot of grudge. You don't trust anybody anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But the system itself, you know, the root of the system that has never changed, it just continue on. You know, it's like an automatic pilot. But you know, the only difference is you see other parties each 4 years in the government. But now this government, she is changing things now. So, you know, she cut in everything now. You know, she cuts in this, cuts in that.
Right.
This is a party, you know. I don't get it.
But, all right. You've acknowledged that if you had an opportunity to, say, come to the United States and experience either feast or famine, or stay in the Netherlands, in Holland, and know that you have security there, and that that you have security there, you would rather have the security. Is that properly stated?
Yeah, only you know, you always should work, you know, with a secure fundament. You know, if you're going somewhere, maybe you have a good plan, but you don't know if the plan will work for you. You know, you at least try it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going somewhere else, and you have no plans, but you have only a good feeling about it, but you didn't do any research, and there is not really a security, you know, you can feel if you don't watch out. So I will only do something if I have done a research first, then I can, you know, get the security, and based on what I have researched, I will move out to that particular area and start to build up a new life.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't have the security, you know, then I will not go. There's a Dutch saying, I have to say it literally, you know,
go ahead.
You can better prevent it than to heal it. You know,
okay.
So you know, if you can prevent things, it's better than you do things, and when you hurt yourself, you have to heal it, you know, so you can better prevent it.
Right. Okay, now if you could change is it a socialist system? Because I don't want to call it that. That's not what it is. Is it a socialist system?
It's a socialist system, yes.
All right. If you could change anything about the system that you're currently living under right now, the socialist political system, what would you change and why?
I think we pay too much taxes. Too much taxes. You see, when you pay tax in the Netherlands, you don't even know where your money is going. So, you know, a third of your salary goes to the government, and you don't even know where the money is going until you see on the news that they are planning to, you know, finance the army, the defense, you know, to fly to Iraq or Afghanistan. And there are a lot of people in the Netherlands, they don't want to see soldiers going to Afghanistan or to Iraq with your money. But you already have paid taxes, but you cannot, you know, you don't have influence to say something about it. So they already got the money and do something with the money they want to do. So you see them on television debating what to do with the money, which is basically your money. But in order to execute their plans, they come with the propaganda machine, you know, because the television is basically the teacher in your house and starts, you know, showing all kinds of footages of what's going on to make the people believe, you know what, let's back up the government. So, you know, it's easy for them to execute the plans. But it's your money. You know, I would change that. I would come with a proposal and say, that I want to know or want to see on paper where my money is going to, or let's say this, you know, if they want to execute something, a plan that the government has, that the people in the Netherlands can say yes or no. You know, we don't want to see our money going somewhere else. Well, there are many people in the Netherlands still cannot write or read.
Right.
So, you know, for instance, or when it comes to public transportation, you know, or other things that just need, you know, a higher priority. But your money goes to them. You mm-hmm. don't even know where your money is going to. And after they have taken a third of your salary, you know, there are other taxes you have to pay. You pay so much tax, and I want to change that, and that we have more influence in our tax system.
But the country is taking money from you in order to give money, in order to spread the money around, so that everybody pretty much lives the same. Is that correct?
Yes. So it's like a huge jar, you know, a very huge jar. All the money goes in it, and a little bit goes to the welfare, a little bit goes to education, mm-hmm. you know, medical care, all that stuff. But there are other parts of the jar, you know, it's like you don't see where it's going to.
Right.
You know?
So that's what
I want to know that.
That's pretty much what Obama wants to do here. He calls it, Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, the senator and congressman leaders that are currently leading in the House and the Senate, they call it wealth redistribution. Well, they take money from the wealthiest citizens, the top 2% of all Americans as far as wealth is concerned, tax the wealthy 50-60% of what they make, in addition to other taxes, state, local, federal taxes, and then if they should die, then there's another 50% tax there, and then they take this money and then they basically spread it around. So what Obama and President Obama and the liberals here want to do is pretty much enact a similar system where they're taxing and taxing and taxing and then taking that tax money and then spreading it around to form a socialist system. So it's pretty much what America wants to do, and I think that's what I was getting at for a good part of this conversation. And you'd like to change that because you believe that the government is taxing its citizens too much, but you also stated that you would rather have that security. And a lot of citizens, I would suspect that a lot of citizens feel the same way, that it's okay because the money that they're taking from you, because it's basically what they're doing, they're taking money from you. You earn the money, and then they tax the money that you earn in order to spread it around to people and make everybody easy and make everybody even. So don't you – I mean, go ahead. I made a mistake?
The security was only, you know, if I would reside to another country. That's the only, you know, when I go to America, for instance, then I need some security if I would make it, or another country in the world, not just specifically America. But the Dutch government, you know, we you know, me as a people from as a Dutchman, you know, It's okay here, you know. Maybe we are just a bunch of whiners.
Yeah.
Because, but generally speaking, you have to be realistic, of course, always at the end of the day. You cannot complain, you know. I'm not ill. I can eat at least three times a day. but
at least,
you know, at least, you know, morning, afternoon, in the evening. But what Obama is doing, it has only, you know, he probably see things that, you know, that needs to be done in the history of the United States, and I think it's out of proportion. You know, I think he's like, you know what, this is. I mean, when it comes to the banking system in the United States, that, for instance, Goldman Sachs or the Lehman Brothers or whatsoever are walking away with these huge bonuses, it's ridiculous. You know, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, but it's money paid out by the shareholders, who in turn make a lot of money as well. It's not money that's taken from any poor people. It's not money that's taken from the government. It's money that's
earned. It's coming from somewhere.
Well, it is coming from somewhere. It's coming from the companies make money because either they sell ideas or they sell products. And the thing is, what a lot of people don't know about a lot of these people who make these huge bonuses is that they make very little or no salary. Everything that they make in bonuses has everything to do with their productivity. So if they don't produce, then they don't make the huge bonuses.
But the thing is this, they always make bonuses, you know, even when they don't even have earned these bonuses, they still make bonuses. And that's I think, where what Obama wants to change a little bit. For instance, you know, to change America a little bit to a European program, you know. But I don't know. Yes,
right. He wants to do that, but I'll tell you one thing. America will resist that because Americans have a mindset that, you know, most Americans do, not all. Most Americans believe that I will make it. I will make it on my own. I believe in the system. I believe in America. And I know that if I work hard, if I put forth the effort, I can take care of myself. I don't need government to do it for me. There are those of us in America who are pretty much lazy, and we believe that we're owed something for nothing. That and there's class warfare, and then there's class envy, where a person will see a person driving a Mercedes-Benz or a Bentley or something like that and say, why does he get to have that? You know, what did he do to get it? I should have that too. You know, not fully, you know, this suspending disbelief that, well, this person actually did something, you know, to earn what he has, and perhaps you should consider doing the same. Well, they don't do that. They just believe that they if you have it, they should have it just because they want it, not because they're going to do anything to earn it. Americans don't think that way, and I think this is what the problem that Obama is running into here in the United States, and the reason why his poll numbers are down so drastically from when he first took office, is that he believes that America is all of it, they want to be given something for nothing, and we simply don't. Now, I have one more question for you before we go, because we got to go. And I tell you what, the next time you come on, we're going to do like a longer show, because this is a great topic and you're a great guest host, and I really do appreciate it. But I have one more question for you. Is it true that in Holland that you all used to wear wooden shoes?
Well, I'm not raised with the wooden shoes, but it's a difficult Dutch cultural thing. Yes, wooden shoes and windmills.
Got it. Okay, my man, I will talk to you a little bit later. I'll catch you online, and I'm going to get on out of here. Hey, thanks for coming on, and I do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. You have a good night. All right.
Thank you.
We are out. That was a great guest. Mr. Martin Van Ellis, one of my really good, good friends. I love him to death. Hey, I'll see you all tomorrow. We're running out of time. We will talk again. Thank you so much for listening. All right, we're out.